This sermon tonight is using a scripture that I've used in another sermon for a different purpose. But it just struck me as I saw it in a devotional that one of the things that comes into my emails, it struck me. And so I headed off in a whole new direction. We're looking at Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. Now, we were talking before about Luke. Luke was one of the disciples, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke as a trial document for Paul in his trial by the Romans, to explain who Jesus was, what Christianity was, and where it all came from. Then he wrote Acts. And Acts is a trial document for Paul's trial by the Romans to explain what's up with this Christian sect. Pat and I were just having a discussion of this, that there are Jews today who are beginning to observe the fact that Christians actually believe their scriptures. And we look at it as us being an extension of Judaism as it began, and we're just a sect of Judaism. It just happened that we're the one that believes that Jesus was Messiah. So, in this instance, we're going to see Peter, who has just healed a man in front of the temple. And they're going to react to that. Now, as they were speaking to the people, the priests, the commander of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them because they were provoked that they were teaching the people and proclaiming the resurrection from the dead using Jesus as the example. So they seized them and put them in custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem, with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, who used to be the high priest, John and Alexander, we have no idea who they are, and all the members of the high priestly family. After they had Peter and John stand before them, they asked the question, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Oh, you didn't want to do that, guys. Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven to the people, and we must be saved by it." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. I especially thank you for all these wonderful little quips that I can pull out. And they make such powerful statements. Go with us as we study your word and help us to come closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we said, they just healed this cripple. It's a famous story. Some of you may have heard it, where they show up and the man wants to be healed because he's been crippled from birth. And Peter looks at him and he says, "Silver and gold I have none. But what I have, I'll give you. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ." And he got up. And there's a little song that he was walking and leaping and praising God. Now, if you've been disabled your entire life, that's what you would do. So, now this just made the priest angry because they did it in Jesus' name. Now, the first thing you need to understand, the priests, the soldiers, the Jewish soldiers, not the Roman soldiers, but the Jewish soldiers, all of the officials, all this stuff, they're what you call a Sadducee. And they're called that because they don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. So they're very sad, you see. Now, the opposite of them was the Pharisees. And we often hear about, oh, Pharisees, they were terrible guys. The thing about it is, the gospel actually fit right in with what the Pharisees were looking for. They just didn't know it until after Jesus was resurrected. But the priests are primarily Sadducees. They do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They do not believe in angels or spirits. And they really hate Pharisees who believe in all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they hate Christians because Christians agree with the Pharisees. And Jesus actually was resurrected from the dead. And that kind of shoots their no resurrection from the dead right through the heart. So they're seriously irritated at the Christians. They don't like these guys at all. So Peter gives a defense. Now, one of the things that I have pointed out in another sermon, like I said, was that Peter was the one who actually denied Jesus. He got scared. He was afraid. Then he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now he's standing up in front of the highest officials in the land and saying, look, bud, I won't deny Jesus even if you kill me. I don't care anymore. Okay? You've got all these leaders. You've got the high priest, you've got the guy who ought to be the high priest, but the Romans displaced him and brought in his son-in-law. You've got great people who are on the Sanhedrin, which was kind of like the Supreme Court of Israel. And they're standing before them, and they're saying, we want to know how you did this. You see, that's one of the things. You see something, and you say to yourself, that does not make sense to me. How did you do it? So first of all, how did you do it? And if in fact this is real, what authority do you have to do that? And Peter just told them. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. Boy, I've done that before, let me tell you. Somebody jumps up and starts talking bad about Jesus. I have been filled with the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I start remembering stuff that my dad taught me when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. Just all comes flooding back. Well, I'm ready for you right now. Jesus said he would do that. He says, we're being tested because we went out and did a good deal. Good deed. We helped a man. He never walked in his life. Now he's walking. And you're mad about it.
Right.
And then he says, Jesus did it. Not us. Jesus did it. You want to know where we get the authority from? We get the authority from Jesus. Now they once asked Jesus, where do you get authority to do the things you do? And so he said, well, I'll ask you a question. Did John the Baptist come from God, or did he just come up with all this stuff by himself? And they were afraid. If we say he came from God, then why didn't you listen to him, dummy? if we say, no, he was just a man, he made it all up, then the people are going to kill us because they think he's a prophet. Mm-hmm. So they said, we don't know. And Jesus said, I won't tell you where I get my authority from. Mm-hmm. But when John asked him, he did. Mm-hmm. They said, are you the one, or we look for somebody else? And Jesus said, you go back and you tell John what you've seen. And then he quoted Isaiah. Mm-hmm. That the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the crippled are walking, and good news is preached to those who are in bad shape. Didn't say yes or no. He just said, you tell him what you saw. Mm-hmm. And in effect, he said, go look in Isaiah, bud. Mm-hmm. I'm the guy. Mm-hmm. And they say to them, Jesus was the person you needed more than anybody else, and you rejected him. But he's been rejected. It's also in Isaiah. You've rejected him, but now he's the cornerstone of everything that comes from God. And then he says, salvation comes from nowhere else. That's why I call this sermon, No Other Savior. There isn't any. There are people who will tell you, well, as long as you have sincerely held belief. No.
Absolutely.
No name under heaven given whereby you may be saved but Jesus. Period. That's it. So what does this mean to us? Well, this sermon has an extensive for us. Because that's basically what I wanted to do. We need to be bold. We need to be the guy like Peter who says, I'm not scared anymore. If you kill me, then I'll die with the Jesus name on my lips. You will not get me to deny you. There were two ladies in Iran named Mariam and Marzadeh. Mariam, by the way, is Mary. But they were told, you will deny Jesus or we will kill you right now on this spot. And they looked at the Iranian judges and they said, we will never deny Jesus. And if you're going to kill us, but we will never deny Jesus. We're ready to die right now. Mm-hmm. And the Iranians knew there were people in the United States who were seriously ticked off about this. And they had said, we want to get them out of there. We want to bring them to the United States. If you don't like them, give them to us. But if you hurt them, we're coming for you, boy. And they're crazy people like me, you know, warriors who are saying, I'm going to put up with this. I'm going to go hurt somebody. We must be bold. We need to say, this is the truth. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. But it's the truth. We need to remember that we're surrounded by unbelievers. Jesus said that. He said, you're going to be surrounded by unbelievers. They're going to treat you badly. Look what they did to me. Will you think that they're going to do any less to you? We're surrounded by unbelievers. And it doesn't matter. We have a great divergence of opinion politically. Now you can go either way you want to, but the whole point of this is that we are now at a point of getting right in each other's faces and wanting to harm each other. We're getting to the point where the liberals, who have always been the peaceniks, are saying, if you don't agree with me, I'll kill you. And of course the conservatives are going, no you won't, I'm better at it than you are. The progressives hate us. And they will say that. They don't like us. They want to get rid of Christianity. Because Christianity says there is an absolute truth. And they want to say there is not. Well, I'm sorry. Everything Jesus ever said was the absolute truth. Everything the Bible says is the absolute truth. And they may try to sit here and twist and turn things. But I learned from the greatest theologian I ever knew, my dad, who had a high school education, but he lived with the Bible for his entire life. And he taught me, and he would sit here and he would twist me around and then show me what the solution to it was. Show me. People will say this. This is why it's not true. You need to study the Word of God and be ready for the conflict that the progressives are going to have against us. They array leaders against us. You have people who do all kinds of stuff. You have people right now that you hear on the TV saying, we're going to do this, and if you don't like it, that's too bad, because we're in charge, and you must do what we tell you. Yep. I'm sorry, we have a little paper that's called the Constitution says that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. We must follow Jesus and let God deal with them. Mm-hmm. As long as we're standing up for the truth of the Lord will defend us. We don't have to worry about it. They can reject us, but they can't stop us. Once again, it is a wise thing that I learned as a policeman. It is impossible to stop somebody from murdering somebody if they're willing to give their own life in order to do it. Well, we're willing to give our own life in order to say what we want to say so they can't stop us. They can kill us, but all that does is make us look better. Yep. And remember, salvation comes from nowhere else. There is no name given under heaven whereby we may be saved. Mm-hmm. Only Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. I'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us and give us the boldness to go out and tell people about you, and give us the words to say when we think we're just going to get all tongue-tied. Help us to be ready to defend the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being here, guys. Thank you.